AGO 810.
I'm honored to be here.
He can tell you what you can expect.
I expect you to stick to the deadlines you've agreed to.
I'm straight up mentally ill.
And I expect to be treated as such.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. This just in from TMZ, Stephanie Seymour arrested for DUI. So.
Naughty girl.
Naughty. I want to welcome to the KGO studio, and thank you very much. It's Caitlin Gill.
Hello.
Celebrity in Los Angeles now, in Hollywood, and
the world. Absolutely. Internationally famous.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're from Oakland. You were here in the Bay forever.
Yes, I was. I love it here. It's like coming home. It's the best. I grew up in Napa, so I've never been far from here.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, let me ask you. So you're here and it's very interesting. Are you doing Sketchfest?
I am doing Sketchfest. I love this festival. I think it's one of the best in the country for sure. Terrific shows, amazing comedians. I was on some wonderful shows this year. I got a couple more wonderful shows coming up. It's been a real fun visit.
Wow.
And the people they put together sometimes are just like, what? Oh, my God. You know, I think the you know, regular old person, I don't know, like a friend of mine went and saw the Waiting for Guffman cast.
Oh, that's the best.
On stage, an interview with, like, Daniel Handler or something like that. Like, they just get these mishmashes of people that you would never get anywhere else. That's just so great.
Some great reunions, some very creative shows. There's a lot of just straight-up stand-up that's really fun to watch, but there's shows that push and pull stand-ups to kind of test themselves and do some fun stuff. If you missed Setlist this year, catch it next year when it comes. That show is wild. It's comedians. Their set list pops up on a screen behind them. They don't get to walk up with their own material.
Oh, that's great.
They have to talk about whatever they're handed. That's pretty wild.
I love it.
That's improv.
Oh, there, that's fantastic.
Yeah, improvised stand-up.
Some good movies have rolled out as well.
We had Michael Meehan
on Friday. So,
oh, that's so great. He's wonderful.
Michael's wonderful. So, but we were talking, even with him, we were talking about Sketchfest and you know, doing San Francisco compared to other cities. So now that you're in Los Angeles, how is that how's that working out?
You know, I love them both. Yeah. Controversial position to hold here in the Bay Area, but LA's a real fun town, and the people there are creative and driven and intelligent and fun and supportive and. None of the stereotypes were true. I grew up a Northern Californian, just through and through, but I'm finding LA is a pretty wonderful home.
Well, there's so much going on in Los Angeles. One of the biggest controversies right now is what's happening with hashtag #OscarSoWhite.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, has come out today, and she wants to boycott the Oscars, and Sean Penn is in the mix. But and by the way, back to the we'll get to Sean Penn in a second, but with Jada Pinkett Smith, I mean, she's now calling for Chris Rock to boycott.
Did you hear what Chris Rock called the Oscars?
The white
BET Awards.
Yes.
It's just the best. I hope Chris Rock uses it an opportunity to remind people that this is not exactly acceptable. I'm of the opinion that we should definitely. It's just wild that the only good performances would come from white people. That just doesn't seem accurate.
Right.
I mean, we know what the Washington Generals played like. You need a little. I mean, it just doesn't work. All white teams just lose. So you can't, it doesn't work anymore.
Do you know why that is?
It just doesn't
work. Why the Oscars are the way they are, really?
Because the, as I understand, most of the academy that actually does the voting is over 70-year-olds, predominantly white men.
Old white guys.
And it reflects. You can see it.
And they don't have a rule where we're going to sit you all down and make you watch all the movies. Then you decide. It's just what they happened to see last year.
Correct.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah, well, it's what screeners you went to or what screeners you watched at home.
And last summer they did promise to diversify, you know, the entire academy. And I don't know whether that happened, but just a breaking here today, the Motion Picture Academy president, let me see what her name is, and interestingly enough, she's black. President Cheryl Boone Isaacs just announced her organization will make dramatic steps to alter the makeup of our membership. She says the Academy will start to conduct a review of its own membership in order to bring much-needed diversity into our class of 2016 and beyond. Well, they said that last year.
Absolutely true, but they can only vote on the movies that actually get made, and it's still true that the biggest budgets and the most trust, most financing goes to rich white guys. So,
yeah, but, you know, one
that's
of the
other point.
One of the things that was said, and I heard Harvey Levin talk talking about this. You know, let's unveil the name. Somebody on his on TMZ on his show said this. Why don't we unveil the names of all the Academy people?
Absolutely.
And but one of the problems with that is there's something, there's other monkey business going on. Of course there is, because it's Hollywood and
always
money. Yeah. And that is each studio. So if you work for Universal, you know, you are only allowed to, or you better, if you want to keep your gig, vote for Universal Movies.
Well, of course.
Right.
And, I mean, the
right.
idea that if the names were public, that somehow they would be easier to manipulate, to me, just seems silly. I mean, if you're right. in the know, you know exactly who you're supposed to be talking to and exactly who you're supposed to influence. But, I mean, I have to get a job before I can really even worry about whether or not my Oscar is coming. And I mean, all I can do is fill in the woman bracket.
You're doing a good job.
It is disappointing to me that there are performers and performances that get overlooked. And it's just statistically so unlikely that every best actor in the nation happens to be white.
Right, right.
Seems a little silly.
Well, and now don't you think with the heat on Chris Rock, I mean, if you were him and the pressure's going to be really turned up intensely.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Well,
if you were him, no better person
for the job.
I know, but if you were him, would you drop out because of the pressure?
I would use the platform. I would talk about
exactly.
it every time I was on that stage. And he's going to have jokes written for him. He'll have a pretty tight script, but he's the one with the microphone. And unless they literally cut the broadcast, he can actually take a few hard shots that I think people need to hear. And people love and respect Chris Rock. So
for sure.
I mean, it's important that comes from somebody who actually reflects the community that's being slighted.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. He needs to use a position of power to advance the cause.
But same with Jada Pinkett Smith. I think the power that she can use is her presence or to not be present. And I think that's whatever tools you got, use them right now. And Chris Rock's got a pretty powerful tool if he wants to address the issue, and I hope he does.
Well,
the
and
most
Spike,
powerful.
And no surprise here, but Spike Lee has also stepped up and said boycott.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, Spike Lee has been an advocate for directors that aren't just white guys for a long time. And I think, you know, films will be more interesting, more compelling, and reach a broader range of people if the group of people that get to make them has a different makeup than it does now.
You know, that there's an interesting thing about the politics of all things. You know, one of the biggest movies that was opening this past weekend was supposed to be 13, the Benghazi story.
Yes.
Well, it opened in fourth place. Ride Along 2 blew everybody away.
Everybody away.
Everybody
Ride Along
away.
2 blew
yes.
Star Wars out of the way. And
right,
Star Wars
Cube.
Was
right.
the now the world's largest, it's
billion
grossed
dollars.
The most in the world, right?
Right, right.
Yeah,
it's a
beat Avatar.
Movie. Right.
And it used to be an ironclad rule in Hollywood that you can't sell a movie if it's got a minority or female lead, especially an action film, and then comes Star Wars. And I think we've seen all the evidence we need to see at this point that people are interested in stories. Stories, good stories. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And back to, 13 for a second, that was supposed to be debuting at number one. And when we were talking about this movie, these movies that were opening this past weekend, on Friday, it was kind of like, Ride Along 2, no, that's not going to do anything.
It was going to blow
kaboom!
Up.
Kaboom! Kaboom! Well,
you can't underestimate Kevin Hart. I mean, he may
for
be
sure.
4 foot nine.
Exactly.
But
I mentioned Ice Cube
is
Kevin Hart.
He's leaving big shoes behind to fill.
He is.
Kevin Hart's the person who taught comedians that your mailing list matters, that if you reach people one by one and if you engage with them, they will build a career for you. And, I mean, his career is obviously booming, and I think it's because he's been committed to his fans since he started.
Fantastic. We have with us Caitlin Gill, and she is going to be at the Punchline on March 2nd.
That's right, headline on the Punchline. A couple days before my birthday. You want to get me a present? Get a ticket to the show.
Right on. We'll take a break and we'll be back with Caitlin Gill and more of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
How would you like to make an extra
news on KGO 810? Then talk about it on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And
you have best
beliefs that you're going to build what I don't need. MLK Day in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. It is the Drex Radio Show, and Caitlin Gill is my guest, and
Hello.
She's a comedian from the Bay, but now in L.A.
As happens to so many of us.
Oh, I gotta love it, and you've gotta love it.
So,
I gotta ask you about, this happened today, on the Steve Harvey Show. He actually apologized to Miss Columbia. Let me play a few seconds of this.
You're the one person that I really wanted to talk to. Because of a mistake I made, I cast you into a spotlight, a place that I never intended to, that I would not want to happen to anybody. I just want to say how sorry I am. I'm beyond sorry for what happened that night and that it was you.
Obviously, that's the reference to him screwing up Miss Universe when the real winner was Miss Philippine.
Oops.
Whoops. Yeah.
I can say, I don't know, there's a podcast produced in the Bay Area, not to advertise any other radio show, listen to KGO all the time, but I'm just saying that 99% of Invisible is produced out of Oakland. They do a podcast about design, and I cannot wait for their episode about this topic because that card was designed for him to fail. If you ever saw a picture of the card that Steve Harvey was reading off of, it was actually pretty difficult. It was an easy, easy mistake to make. In fact, it was almost harder to get it right. And, I mean, that's not I'm not blaming any intern or production assistant that works hard to make that show run, but it is so important to take into account design, even down to the minutiae of the card you're handing over to somebody.
Sure.
Poor guy was set up for it. Now, he did it, so huge blunder, but... Hey,
it didn't go from a top-down order, right? They had something the right. Yeah.
As I recall, the winner is on the bottom right, and the other two were on the top. And that it's just an interesting design that didn't work out for that particular purpose.
Exactly, and it's just how your body works. That's how we read, left to right, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And they threw the winner over here in the corner of the card.
And I can I can picture what they're thinking. Like, let's separate the winner and make that bold and on its own, so it's definitely easy to see, but that's not the way it played out in the end.
Caitlin Gillis, my guest. Sure enough, Miss Columbia talks to Steve Harvey, about learning how to read those cards.
How do you feel about the way I handled the situation? What were your thoughts? Because, I mean, it happened to you. This is so nerve-wracking. You laugh.
This for real?
Is this for real? Yeah. Yeah, we got it.
You have to learn how to read cards. Because it was on the card.
Ari?
You wanted me to win, you know?
Yes! I wanted you to win. Yeah, I'm off the hook. Hell, that's it. I wanted you to win. I can leave it at that.
Caitlin Gill, let me ask you, because right from the get-go and out of the box of this horrific mistake, and I mean, we talked about this so many times on the show, I mean, Miss Universe is huge. It's a monster in South America and in other areas around the world. Not so much here. Well, but, you know, nonetheless, and sure enough, it's playing out this way. Miss Columbia really is the big winner in all of this.
You know, if she figures out how to use it to the fullest, go, girl, get it. Get it while you can. I mean, pageants are tough. That is a short career. And if you get an extra check to cash or a little extra exposure, man, catch it.
And by the way, backstory, so I hear allegedly she had a deal with NBC Universal. Mm-hmm. So it's you can only talk to Steve Harvey, you can only talk to NBC Universal.
Sure.
You know, I guess Telemundo, but all the English speaking. I think she's allowed to speak Spanish, but to other reporters and other outlets, but it's an exclusive, you know, so I guess she's taking home a payday and probably why not, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, cash in. If you actually have to stand up in front of the world and be misidentified as Miss Universe, I hope something good comes to you afterwards. That's just karmic repayment, you know?
Speaking of the fact that you're in Los Angeles now, Caitlin, I would be remiss if I did not ask you about Sean Penn and the big interview last night that was on 60 Minutes. And I think everybody, well, at least I was, and everybody in this room in our club, was watching some of the debate until it was about quarter after. And then all of a sudden how can you not watch Sean Penn and his article on El Chapo, where he said it was a failure.
Now,
we all want this drug problem to stop. And if you are in the moral right or on the far left, just as many of your children, just as many of your brothers and sisters, your mothers and fathers, the teachers at school are doing these drugs. And how much time have they spent in the last week since this article came out talking about that? 1%?
I think that's not generous. Much dialogue about
my article failed. Let me be clear. My article has failed in that the question, in that everything that's spoken about is everything but what I was trying to speak about.
You regret
that I failed that.
But you're really saying what I really regret is not anything that I did. I regret that people misunderstood what I did.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Charlie Rose came down on him hard.
Well, you know, it's an interesting place for Sean Penn to put himself in, certainly. I guess I appreciate his advocacy on behalf of those who are struggling with drug abuse and trying to deal with the root of the problem. I really tried to read that interview, but I had pretty high reading comprehension skills in school, and I could not get through a few paragraphs. It was pretty intense. But It's, I mean, Mexico in particular has really been dealing with the horrible tragedy of losing journalists and things we take for granted in this country, like being in the studio and totally free to talk about this issue, are not things that people in Mexico get to do. So it is interesting to watch somebody use a Hollywood platform to try to do what journalists in Mexico are persecuted for doing.
Killed.
Right, or killed.
Well,
yes, yeah, yes. That was a gentle way of saying stitched to a soccer ball. It's really tough, and I mean, it's advocacy. I don't know if I could call it journalism. I do respect that he wants us to be talking about this issue. It's just an interesting character. He's become an interesting character.
Well, Caitlin, I have to tell you, one of the most interesting things about the interview was almost an I gotcha moment during the interview when, of course, it's edited. Charlie Rose steps in and says, by the way, Sean Penn, trying to tell us that this was for journalistic values. Journalists do not give their interviewees the interview back to approve before they take it to press. Mm-hmm. And that's what Sean Penn did.
I mean, honestly, if I interviewed El Chapo, I'd probably want his okay before I did anything. It's El Chapo. But that's why I'm not a journalist,
because I don't
have the spine to do that work.
And they didn't end up changing anything.
Yeah,
he didn't redact anything.
But I couldn't help but feel last night when I was watching this interview on 60 Minutes, I thought, this in itself now has become a screenplay and a movie.
Oh, yeah.
We just don't know how it's going to end.
Well, it'll come out in fourth place. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that one.
Like 13 did over this past weekend.
That was a callback. That's what they call it in the business.
All of these expectations. And then at the end where he said he doesn't fear for his life, I was thinking, oh, yeah, well, I guess, I don't know. How do you answer that question?
I mean, do you fear for, like, I don't know what he feels. I don't understand what Sean Penn's up to right now. I am curious about whether or not this is all an elaborate screenplay. If this is his long con into making
goodness.
A super documentary film. I can't crack his code
or
right now.
Or a ginormous romantic gesture to get back into Madonna's pants.
Oh, now see, that's the long road to take, but a road worth taking, honestly. If that's all it takes, I will interview El Chapo right now. Bring him in.
Hey,
I'll do it.
Do you want to have some fun? Speaking of fun.
No, I'll pass.
Oh, come on.
Just kidding. Come
Caitlin
on.
Gill. A possibly drunk Madonna makes fun of her audience at a concert in Louisville over the
you'll
weekend.
Love this.
Yeah, take a listen.
I'm mixing everything up. My choreography, my words. I put my skirt on backwards. I forgot to zip my shoe. I don't even know who I am. Who am I? Wait, was it something I said? Are you people? Or did I insult you? Sorry, I said Oklahoma. Really? You. Anyways, and it looks pretty dark out there sometimes, doesn't it? Why does everyone sound like a girl? Are there any men around here? It looks pretty dark out there, doesn't it?
That didn't play so well in Louisville, and by the way, she was 3 hours late.
Well, you know, the road is hard.
she's fighting
a little exhausted.
Yeah, she's fighting with her husband over Rocco.
That's
Guy
tough.
Ritchie. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on for Madonna. I can't be mad at Madonna. I just can't.
No, I can't either.
I don't have a bone in me that can be mad at Madonna.
Oh, wait,
just can't
hear her do Rebel Rebel?
Oh, I didn't. How'd
you might
go?
Be mad at with
it.
Darn it. Sorry. Sorry,
I mean, nobody
mad.
Can look. Nobody is Bowie, even Madonna.
We were listening to Springsteen try it over the weekend.
Yeah,
not
nobody
so much.
Should. Nobody
yeah,
should.
Not
just,
a good idea.
We have all the records. It's fine. Just put those on repeat and feel better. That's all you can do. I think in the last week or so, that's the first time I listened to his albums with the acknowledgement that he is a mortal human being. I don't think I gave David Bowie that credit. I just totally was comfortable with suspending all disbelief and accepted him fully as an immortal space sex alien. And
exactly.
It was, it's really interesting to go back and review those lyrics and songs with an eye to a mortal human.
Well, and now Lazarus, there you go, play. Yes, and then Black Star is number one
yes.
on Billboard. So,
which, I mean.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, and an artist to the last. I think he knew exactly what was coming, and I think he knew exactly what he wanted to say.
Yeah, perfect ending.
Oh, totally.
All right, well, thank you, Caitlin Gill, for stopping by again. She's at Sketchfest and Punchline March 2nd. It's always an honor to have comedians who are wonderful into the studio, and I loved having you. So
this was quite a pleasure. Thanks very much, everybody.
You bet. All right, more of the Drex Radio Show coming up, but first, John Libertini in the KGO Newsroom.
KGO 810.
Tune in and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I have a dream that my poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
Man has not begun to live until he can rise above to the broader concerns of all humanity. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are.
We have indignities experienced on city buses.
Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
And yes, we do fall in that 37 percentile range of people who did work Martin Luther King Day. It was interesting. Last night I was taking out the trash, and my neighbor said, Drex, what are you doing? They're not going to take the trash today. I said, yes, they are. And they did. And then, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do work. And by the way, and then the Godzilla of all into work traffic days. And I think, and I do believe that the protest started right before I entered the toll booth to come into San Francisco.
It was right about 4 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And how was it? 5 cars? How'd this work? I just saw a flash of the video.
All right. So yeah, I saw the video too. All right. So they had 5 cars. They were actually fairly nice cars too. And they stopped the cars, and they apparently chained themselves and the cars together.
Saw that.
At which point they laid out those banners on the pavement there that read Black Health Matters.
Right.
And then, of course, it took the CHP time to get them off the bridge. The thing that struck me about this was how little hostility there was in the backup.
You know, yeah, usually, I didn't see it either.
Wow.
You know, maybe because it was a holiday, but I mean, we were in bumper to bumper traffic. I threw it into park, got out of the car, grabbed the tape recorder, started flipping pictures because I'm getting a text message from Heather. We need pictures. Do you have pictures? I got to get pictures.
I got to put the pictures on social media.
And then I sent her pictures. She goes, well, you don't have anybody sitting on their car or standing on their car or whatever.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
And then I sent her those. And a car stuck in the mud. And then I got her a picture of the bridge with nobody on it.
Oh, perfect.
After the traffic had lightened up.
Yeah, so I sat there for an entire hour, and you're right. I mean, at some point, I just turned the car off because everybody else did. And then I saw people getting out of the car, and I thought, you know, how many times does this actually happen where you can get out of the car on the Bay Bridge, walk over to the side, and look over?
Yeah, well,
and not, you know, and not be in a car accident.
Well, yeah, well, or yeah, that over. Or there, right. there's a big fireworks display. People have been known to just stop their cars.
Oh, yeah.
And you know,
I know some of those.
But, yeah,
right. Okay, but so I did it. And by the way, it's a long way down. So if it ever crossed your mind, that would
No. That's one of the very.
I was like, oh my.
That's one of the very early educations you get when you come to the Bay Area.
Wrong bridge.
Well, anybody who jumps off a bridge, how far they fall and what happens to them when they hit the water, you know, none of those things are appealing. So
right. So you're right, John Lubertini. I found the same thing because just started to talk to people. You know, collectively, a lot of people didn't know what was going on. Then I started telling them, and, you know, it was kind of a c'est la vie kind of attitude.
Well, you know, I stopped a guy. I mean, you know, you get out of the car with a microphone. I've got the KGO mic flag on there, and I've got people. And you can tell when there are people that want to talk to you, but, you know, they've all got their windows up, so I'm not bashful. I go knock on windows and get people to talk to me. And this first guy was not real happy, but he wasn't hostile. And then I asked another guy, and then there was a woman in front of me who got out of her car ready to pounce. And she was the woman who said, you know what, this is a peaceful protest. I totally support this. You know, they're trying to make a point. And I said, and she starts describing the protest to me. And I said, well, how do you know all this? She says, well, my partner's streaming it to my phone so I can see what's going on. And the funny part was that a lot of people were doing that. There was a guy in a work truck next to me. He was delivering or dropping off or transporting something, and he's holding up his iPad where he's got one of the Bay Area TV stations live on there, and I can see the picture of the car stopped on the bridge with the sign on the pavement. It was actually kind of, I hate to call it festive, but it certainly wasn't. It was, you know, everybody had kind of a sense of humor about it, which...
That's really interesting.
Yeah, well, and as protests go, I think there might be more efficient ways to do things that, you know, I mean, you think about, well, is this ineffective in a way that you're, if people needed to get somewhere or it was an emergency or they're missing flights or work, they're going to be in trouble, that it has the opposite effect. Where they think, okay, well, now that I know what it is, no, I don't support you. But maybe you're – but I didn't see that.
You know,
I just saw people getting out of their car, and then they knew what was going on right. and chilled out.
It was funny, too, because I got out of the car one time, and this guy says, what's going on? And I said, there are protesters on the bridge. They've got themselves chained together. He's like, well, I'm getting out of here. He throws this little truck of his into reverse, gets on that little shoulder that's on the – and starts backing up because he wants to get to the Grand Avenue exit so he can loop around and go back to Oakland because he's having none of it. And then there were other people cutting across these little – they weren't even mediums. They were just, you know, patches of grass in between, you know, the different lanes of traffic trying to drive shortcut over to get on that same Grand Avenue exit
yes.
so they could get out of this. And then somebody tried to do the same thing on the bridge and got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, an amazing
thing. So to be patient.
But you know what? I was wondering. I thought, well, I'm cool with this. The only thing we're missing is people passing around the joints. And then I didn't smell any of that. Well, I found that notable. But I was thinking to myself, wonder if this is a preview of 3 weeks to come where the city shuts down and nobody can move around because they're shutting down, pretty much everything between Battery and the Embarcadero for the million people who commute into the city.
You know what? It's the Super Bowl. You know, anybody who wants to complain about that should have done it 5 years ago when they were bucking for the game. It's too late now.
It's too late now. Here it comes.
And, you know, one thing about this protest today, in the grand scheme of things, it was well thought out, carefully choreographed, and not all that dangerous. In Oakland, when they, at the height of the protest, you know, following the Ferguson and, you know, all the other protests across the country, there were people climbing up onto 880 and 980. I mean, people walking out into traffic and stopping
dangerous,
cars.
Right.
Yeah, super, super dangerous. So in the grand scheme of things, this was manageable. It wasn't fun, but, you know, we became part of it. You know, at least we got to work. You know, we were late for work, but we were working.
And we are working, and we'll continue to do so right after the break with the good news. And speaking of the Super Bowl, oh, my God, what a weekend for football. Even if you don't love football, I don't know if you caught any of it, but it was a Hail Mary weekend, and we'll discuss coming up for sure on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Now more of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Listening to the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world. On KGO 810, unfortunately, we're playing Mott the Hoople and Dale Griffin, the drummer for Mott the Hoople.
Fortunately, we're playing Mott the Hoople, but unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. He passed away at 67. And I guess he did indeed suffer a long battle with Alzheimer's. And today everyone's talking about the passing of the Eagles. Glenn Frey also died at the age of 67. And adding to the list, Tower of Power's Mick Gillette passed of a heart attack. He was 64. And everyone will be sorely missed. Adding to the list of... It goes on and on. Alan Rickman.
Love that song.
Yeah.
And Ian Hunter still tours a lot, so you can get a chance to see him at the Fillmore or something like that. Almost, I would say, once every other year.
And everybody still and talking about with tributes to David Bowie over the weekend, and that continues even today.
Oh, yeah.
And then
we danced our heads off at the Cat Club Saturday night. Oh, my God, I was a sweaty mess.
And Celine Dion, over the weekend, she lost, at the end of the week, she lost her husband, Renee, of many years. And
her manager slash husband.
Her husband, yes. And then 2 days later, her brother died of cancer at the age of 59. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to the good news. With the Super Bowl right around the corner, and we can't wait here in San Francisco in the Bay Area, it's going to be very exciting. But, oh, my God, what a weekend. And, you know, I'm no sports aficionado, but I have to tell you, I mean, it was an epic game this weekend, looking at the playoff games. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the 49ers aren't in it, but let's just see what's out there. So I tuned in to see the Packers take on the Arizona Chiefs. And, oh, I'm sorry, look at me. I got that wrong. The Arizona Cardinals. Whoops. But Aaron Rodgers, who I understand is a Cal guy, didn't know that, but he's a cheesehead. He throws his second game-tying Hail Mary of the season. I think he did it a couple weeks ago against Detroit. This was unbelievable. It had to be one of the most exciting NFL games I've seen.
They are going to bring pressure again. Rodgers is going to roll away, throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Janis does it.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
It was insane.
Oh, that may be one of the great throws ever made.
Ever. Ever.
Wow.
Only a few minutes later to lose it to the Cardinals.
Little flip to Fitzgerald. To write the story of this one.
I just can't believe what I'm seeing out of this ballgame. Al, come on, you've been doing this a long time. You've seen anything like it?
No, this is one for the books here. Yeah. Arizona moves on, Green Bay goes home, postgame next.
Unbelievable. I mean, only thing I could think, because I was screaming alone in my room watching TV, and my other half was out the other in the living room watching Downton Abbey, and she's like, what the hell is going on? I said, oh my God, this is like, it's insane. So next week we end up with Patriots at Broncos and Cardinals at Panthers. And we'll have one of those two. The winners of each one of those will take on each other.
We'll be the Super Bowl.
Yes, we'll be the Super Bowl. Teams that will compete in Santa Clara for the 50th Super Bowl title. So it's going to be an exciting, exciting time.
Did you look at any of those links I sent you about Super Bowl parties going on around town?
I see a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. My God. Folks, look at SF Station. I mean, if you've got $10,000 to spare, you might be able to get into one of these parties. It's
nuts. Oh, just into the parties?
Yes!
Can you get any tickets?
They're nuts. I don't think we can get tickets, Trex.
No, I don't
listen
think
to my
so.
Voice going up. I'm like, right. But I need to go to the party. I mean, it's nuts what they're paying. The lowest price I saw for the Rolling Stone party was $1,500 a head to get into some party out on Pier 70. Who's playing, though? There was a few good people. LMFAO, I don't care about them. I forget. There were a few good people, though. And again, a monster list of performers just for this one event. And then the pictures they show from the years past, it's like packed in. You're like, wait a minute. I'm going to give you all that money for a ticket. I want a table. I don't want to just shoulder to shoulder with all these sweaty people.
I saw an interesting story locally on one of the TV stations, and they were talking about private jets coming in. I think they were talking about the Hayward Municipal Airport, which lands, of course, the tech people come and go all the time.
It's a little airport in Palo Alto, too.
Oh, okay, that one too. That one also. And so they were talking about these airports that they're going to be inundated. What are they going to do with these hundreds and hundreds of private jets?
Wow.
Yeah, because they can't. I guess they can. I don't know if they can land at Oakland or SFO, but probably not.
I don't think
so. Yeah, and how are they going to park them all?
Well, there's room.
It's a tough problem to have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
oh, wham.
Boo-hoo, figured out.
The plane can land, drop you off, and then just go fly around while it waits for your ass to get done partying.
Right. You're still going to be stuck in the badass traffic. That's the good news.
Oh,
yeah,
my
just
God,
like us.
Right? Because you have to get from Hayward to the city or whatever.
For sure. All right. The John Bachelor Show. By the way, thank you to our guest, Marty Damko, and Caitlin Gill. The comedian from Los Angeles, who comes from the Bay over there in Oakland. She
performing
is
performing at Sketchfest, and will be back for a proper gig at Punchline
on the 2nd of March.
March 2nd.
Right.
And tomorrow, we have Lisa Durden to talk about all the Oscar shenanigans.
Oh, my God. And it just won't stop. So you've got Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith calling for a boycott of the hashtag
Oscars. They say
Oscars
they're boycotting
so
it.
Right.
Yeah.
And they want, there's pressure on Chris Rock, who is the host, to drop out. So this is all developing, and it'll be a, you know what, storm tomorrow. Okay, have a great evening. Be safe. And John Batchelor is next on KGO 810.
You may have made a mistake when you bought that alarm clock at the hospital gift shop. And you may have made a mistake when you tried to count all of Ryan Seacrest's teeth. By the way, there are over 300. Time to get your life back on track by listening to the Pat Thurston program on KGO 810. Pat Thurston is entertaining and informative. And it's like what Pat always says about her own program.
It's perfect for women and for men, even those seemingly impossible to buy for.
The Pat Thurston program, weekends on KGO 810. News, talk, and traffic.
KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, a Cumulus station.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.